like unto thee, O Lord, who is like unto thee. Can we rise up, please? O Lord, among the God, who is like thee, for you are glorious in holiness and fearful in praises. Always doomed in wonders, alleluia. Who is like, who is like unto thee? O Lord, who is like unto thee? Among the gods, who is like thee, for you are glorious in holiness and fearful in prayer. Always done in wonders, alleluia, alleluia. Father, there is no God like you. You are the wonder working God. You are the only one who can change a man's destiny. Other people can cause a delay, but they cannot change it. But you, because you are God, everything you do is perfect. Lord, this afternoon, I lift up your people unto you, O Lord, that as your word will come forth, that you will bless their lives in Jesus' name. Is anyone at the brink of destruction? You are pulled back right now in Jesus' name. Are you at the brink of failure? Right now, receive your success in Jesus' name. Are you at the brink of defeat? Begin to receive your strength now in Jesus' name. Are you about to give up? There is hope in the way. There is hope in the house. There is hope in your life right now, because Jesus is here, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. God bless you. I want to share with you this morning a message that God has put in my heart to share. I actually, you know, when I prayed, God directed me specifically to a place that he wants me to share with you. And I don't know why God chose that particular place for me to share with you today. And the message is titled, Back from the Brink. Back from the Brink. And I want to tell you that somebody is coming back from the brink today in Jesus' name. Somebody has been earmarked for destruction, but from today, that destiny has changed for good in Jesus' name. Somebody has been earmarked to give up, but I want to tell you that from today, the spirit of giving up has ceased from you in Jesus' name. You receive new strength for that task in Jesus' name. Open your Bible with me to John chapter 11. I'm going to quickly read through. It's a story that we all know very well, but I believe that God intends to point out one or two things to us, and because he intends to bless somebody, and I believe that person is me. I believe that person is me. I am going to be blessed. Where I am about to get to the brink, the Lord will pull me back in Jesus' name. John 11, I'll read from verse 1. And I'll read as many verses as I can. Okay? Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The Lord will remember you for good. Mary is remembered for doing good to the Lord. Heaven will remember you for your contribution in Jesus' name. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Brethren, when it looks like God is not showing up, he hasn't forgotten you. He abode 2 days still where he was. Then after that, said he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. I'm going to explain this to us very soon. This thing said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. You can imagine, just like my kids, you know, will normally say, they could not get the gist of the matter. So if he's asleep, then that is great. He is getting restored. He's getting, you know, he's resting. And then Jesus goes on to say, howbeit Jesus spake of his dead, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Praise God. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art Christ, the Son of God, which you come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died. Let's go to verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Somebody will be loose this morning in Jesus' name. Jesus spoke in verse 9. He said, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. Jesus gave this answer in response to what the disciples said. They said, look, Master, you are still going there. Don't you know that the Jews are out to get you? They are out to kill you. And Jesus said, look, the man that walks by day will not stumble, but the man that walks by night will stumble. In other words, what I want you to know is that your day is when you are where God wants you to be and you are doing what God wants you to do. Anything outside that, it's living in darkness, because the light of God cannot shine to cover you. Jesus was on an assignment which he had not fulfilled. Therefore, he knew that it was impossible for the people of the world to truncate his destiny. And I want to say to you today that your destiny will never be truncated in Jesus' name. When you go to verse 11, the Bible says, this thing said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The whole world knew that Lazarus was dead. The disciples have been told that Lazarus was dead. Some of them actually said that let us go and die with him. It was already in the newspapers, if it were to be in these days, because it was 4 days after that Lazarus had died. In other words, in the life of Lazarus, he had reached a dead end. But when Jesus became aware of the situation, Jesus turned it around and turned a dead end to the beginning of a new opportunity to experience life. It is also possible that somebody is at a dead end today. I want to tell you that there will be restoration for you in Jesus' name. Some people start business, the product will be so acceptable and everyone wants it, and suddenly things change and nobody wants to buy such a product anymore. That is a dead end. Even marriages reach dead end. The one, many of us can attest to this. When you first started cutting, your voice is the first thing that the husband wants to hear in the morning, and it's the last thing he wants to hear before he goes to bed. And of course, your wife wants to hear your voice the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. And you get to a point that now when you speak, your word becomes irritation. That is a dead end. But I want to say to you, Jesus that came to the life of Lazarus and brought life back into it will bring life back into your business and into your marriage in Jesus' name. For some, the goalpost is always changing. Life can be a mirage. You know, you make plans, just when you're about to catch it, the rule changes. Just when you're about to apprehend it, something different happens. Some people, they chase happiness and contentment, and it does not matter what happens in their lives, they are not happy inside. Let me tell you something. This is what God told me to tell you. He said, the hands that kept the head of Goliath steady so that David's stone could hit him will keep your goal within your range in Jesus' name. Put Jesus in your plans. He is the light that shines, that gives the day its name. Where Jesus is absent, that place is called darkness. Jesus will not be absent in your life in Jesus' name. You know what? The five virgins who missed their destiny. Why do you think they missed their destiny? Because they were not where Jesus was. So where he is absent, there is darkness there. Whatever is going to cost you, whatever is going to take you, remain in Jesus. I want to tell you, this is because every generation had their own issues to contend with. And every individual has had their own issues to contend with. That thing that appears to be holding you back, it's not new to you. You need to be where Jesus is, because that is where light shines. And his light will shine into your life once again in Jesus' name. Do you know what? Change is one of the major problems of man. How many people agree with me? Change is one of the biggest problems. Oh yeah, thank God. There are psychiatrists in the house, and I can see they are nodding. Because they know that the period of change is one of the most difficult period in the life of anyone. And so, for many of us in the times of change, you know what? God is usually the first thing to be thrown out of the window. Am I right? Okay, I will show you how. In terms of priority, if you buy a new car, most people will be busy from Monday through to Saturday. You need to see my car outside. It's so dirty. If you ask them to nominate the time they want to wash it, they will say Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. That means church has been stabbed. Praise God. And they so much help us in this place. If your children want to do games, once they get to a certain level, what day would they do it? Eh? It's Sunday morning. So church is what? Gone. For some of us, when we are sick on Mondays, you go to see the doctor. Doctor says, all that you need to do is to rest. Rest this week, oh. Most of us will manage to go to work for the whole of that week. Praise God. And then we will obey the doctor on Sunday. It's gone. When we have misunderstanding with our wives or our husbands, most of us are too busy to settle it. It can wait. Am I right? We go to work. When do we settle it? Sunday morning. Praise God. When the rain we have been praying for falls, it better not fall on Saturday or Sunday. Otherwise, Sunday will be, praise God. But let it rain hailstones. Where will we be? We'll go to work. Praise God. You know what? In the times of change, we need him more. That is when we need him more than ever before. I've told us before, this is from my own, you know, things I've gathered based on what others have said. But I will say to you that there are three constant things in life. Three things that you are sure of to encounter in your life. What are they? Okay, somebody looked at my notes. This person looked at my note. The tax man, some of us don't like him. Once it comes to July, many of us, you see our face will change when it starts to get to July, because the tax man will always ask us for something. That one, you can't escape, except if you run to the Arab states. Praise God. Two, we know the D word, death. We can't escape that. Change is something that we can never, never escape. Change will happen. We either make change happen or change will happen and sweep us along with it. You will be the master of change in Jesus' name. That's the way God has done it. That's why we don't have the same weather all year round. That's why we have day and night. That is why, you know, even your mood, is it ever the same? No. Some morning you wake up grumpy. I wake up very grumpy. Some morning I just wake up and I say to myself, I wish I don't have to go to work today. You know. My mood keeps changing. Your mood keeps changing. Nothing is static. Change. In Psalm 145, in 146 verse 5, the Bible says, happy is he that had God, the God of Jacob, for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Happy is he. You know what? That God of Jacob is constant. Irrespective of what is changing around us, that same God remains constant. And when that God is your hope, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the early part of it, it says, hope maketh not ashamed. And that is why you are able to weather the storm. You know what? For some of us, our workplace is changing. Don't they always do? They're always changing. New things are coming. Even those of us who are privately employed, Medicare will bring out something. There will always be something to complicate matters for you. Just when you think you are settling down, something else will happen. Jesus, the master changer, is your friend. Don't panic. Tell your neighbor, say, don't panic. Do you know what? Your body too keeps changing. 5 years ago, it wasn't as big as this. Praise the Lord. I can tell you that. 5 years ago, it wasn't as big as this. Even 3 years ago, it wasn't as big as this. Your body keeps changing. You know, some of us men would really like to see our wife remain like they were when they were just 19. Amen. And the women too. The husband to look like he's just 25. Your body change. In fact, within that age, even while we were young, for the women, your body will change, you get pregnant, things change. How do we handle it? I think I've told us before of a friend, of one of my wife's friends. When she's pregnant, I always, because this woman has solution to all the problems. You just tell her anything, she has an answer for you. But when she's pregnant, she's so quiet and docile. And I will tell the husband, I say, please, always make sure that she's pregnant too, because she's so quiet. It's not just the body that changes. Emotions will also change at that time. And you know what? A lot of people following pregnancy may even become depressed. Isn't that so? I want to tell you today that because Jesus is in your life, you have a handle on things in Jesus' name. Because when he came into the life of Lazarus, and everyone said, this is the way things have been, things change for the better. Things will change for the better for you in Jesus' name. Do you know that friends and acquaintances also change? But let me tell you something. Your everlasting friend has not changed. The Bible says, Jesus the same yesterday and today and forever. He has not changed. Put your gaze. Focus your gaze on him. I told us that marriages do change. Sometimes it's from nothing. You know, you struggle to make it. And during that time, when you are really struggling, those of us from that part of the world, how many of us have preached in buses before? How many of us have shared tracts when we've shared transport with people back in Nigeria? Don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the power of God unto salvation to those that believed. Praise God. God expects us to be doing the same thing. Not because things are more convenient now. Do you know that things can be down temporarily also? Financially, things may become down a bit. And you know, it's a time that the enemy sneaks into people's homes. Things that you used to laugh about before become a source of misunderstanding. The Bible says, he that is born of God overcometh the world. Even your faith, you will overcome in Jesus' name. What of when children come? They become 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Praise the Lord. I told you, if I had my kids before now, I probably would have had like 6. And I will encourage everyone I know to have 6. You know what? If you are a Christian, I will encourage you to have 6. Do you know why? So that we can take over. When you train your children in the way of the Lord, and can you imagine 6? So there will be 6 from me. Each of them will have 6. And each of your children will have 6. Before long, we will send other people packing. They will be begging us to go back to where we come from. Praise the Lord. No, I'm serious. You will just take over the whole place because the DNA of Jesus is in you. That is the DNA that I want to see around. Praise the Lord. So as we begin to plan, you know, begin to plan as children come, do you know that some people get stuck in the past? That is why a lot of marriages have difficulties. How do you mean? People get stuck in the past. Before some people had children, I mean, after some people have had children, they want to sleep the same number of hours they used to sleep. They want to watch TV the same number of hours they used to watch TV. They want to go to movies as often as they used to go to movies. They want to go on holidays as many times. In fact, I can't afford as many holidays as I used to afford. Because by the time I pay school fees and do this, praise the Lord, that's change. That is change. Some people want to have as much time to themselves as they used to. I want to have as much money to spend as they used to. Change. Your spiritual life is also subject to change. You know, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In other words, things cannot stay the way they used to be. If nothing is changing in that department, then there's something wrong. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 speaks in the same line. It talks about a renewal of attitude, a change of attitude. Something has to change. In fact, position and status even change sometimes. But let me tell you something. With God, what people call going down is an opportunity for elevation. Praise the Lord. How do I know? Because Peter said, he said, humble yourselves in the hand of the Almighty God so that he may lift you up. God will lift you up in Jesus' name. Do you know that age also change? And many of you will be in my age bracket. A lot of people can't cope with age change. And they call it midlife what? Eh? What do they do? Don't say it. Praise the Lord. You will not go into crisis in Jesus' name. But when the Lord God is your strength, he's your hope, he's your future, you can handle change. Because the Bible says, Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And we can do all things through who? Through Christ that strengthens us. If you are a husband, you are 40 years old, you will not experience midlife crisis in Jesus' name. Your home will not be broken in Jesus' name. Ask David. He knows what it is like. Because if you calculate David's age, by the time he became a king, about 30 years old, and that time that thing happened, he was probably in his 40s. He became lazy. His belly was coming out like my own. When kings were meant to be at war, he was at home on the balcony. Praise God. The rest is history. How do we find stability? I've told you I will take 45 minutes. How do we find stability? I want you to open with me to Psalm 131. Psalm 131. I'm going to read something to you there. And I'm going to take you through a bit of psychology. Praise God. He said, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned off his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. Praise the Lord. Let me quickly go through this with you. It may not mean anything to some of us. Listen to what David is saying. He said, my heart is not haughty. My heart is not proud. The Bible says, let no man think himself greater than he ought to. Because God receives the proud and he gives grace to the humble. It is pride that wants to make us, that will make us desire to be someone else that we are not. You can develop yourself to be the best that God wants you to be. And you will make your unique mark in a unique way on the sands of time in Jesus' name. Haughty hearts, they never want help. And so, it's possible they die in ignorance. In the multitude of counsel, what does the Bible say? Eh? 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 No. In the multitude of counsel, in the multitude of counsel, that exactly there is safety. The one that is haughty will not want counsel, and therefore he will be what? Unsafe. You will not be unsafe in Jesus' name. But what kind of counsel do we get? We read Psalm 1 verse 1. It tells all the kind of counsel we should get. The haughty will not want knowledge. He knows all. The Bible says where there is no spiritual guidance, the people lose restraint. The haughty wants to show they are better than everyone else. They are in competition with everyone. The psalmist said, "Not my eyes lofty, that is not proud." He said, he never treats those who are below him with disdain. He has respect for people. He said, no, my eyes lofty. He has respect for people. Respect for people. I was reading a website. I showed it to my wife. And the man talked, you know, he's a Christian. And he talked about what respect is. The way he will show respect, even in ordinary things. Never treat people with disdain. Not because I think God has given me something a bit more than you and I just look at you as if you don't know how to do it. He said, no. Lofty eyes, envy. Lofty eyes. When he sees, he will just, you see, he has to get it. Lofty eyes will lack originality. He said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. I asked myself a question here. I said, how absurd. We are going somewhere. Why did I say how absurd? Do you remember that the guy who wrote this psalm is a king? And yet he said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. If a king who rules over a country does not exercise himself in great matters, who else would? He wasn't just a king. He was one of the most accomplished generals that ever lived. Because David won every battle that he fought in the name of the Lord. And I don't know how many of us have been close to soldiers, senior soldiers. These people are intelligent. People who know them, they are strategists. They are strategists. You will know one of the generals in Nigeria that people are afraid of. They are strategies. Yet he said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. How absurd. I don't know how many of us had the news not long ago. The Russians did something with their military ways. How many of us heard about it? Okay. You see, instead of spending money to build big tanks and all those things, what did they do? They made rubber, painted it. When you see it, you think it's live to serve as a decoy. You know? So they will position all these things. Even with your satellite, you beam it and think the real thing is there. And they will attack you from another side. While, you see, it costs a fraction, 1,000 part of what it will cost to get the real thing. That is who a soldier is. So David was not stupid when he said, neither do I exercise myself in great matters. This is called humility. Everything that he achieved, he ascribed it to God. The one that will go far with God must humble himself before him. And I can understand why David would say so. Because he will remember that when he was anointed king at the age of 16, he didn't become king until he was about 30. He knew it was not his strength that put him there. He also knows that when he was not ordered or commanded to count the people, and he counted them, it was disaster. So he was humbled. He also knew, like I told you, when he took a break from war and was resting, what happened? It was trouble. So he had been humbled. He now knows that there is a power that is greater than him, that he only exercised authority over a very small segment of the earth. How much more the King of Kings that created heaven and earth? He has control over your life. He has control over your destiny. He is the one who can change things to favor you. And he will favor you in Jesus' name. No wonder he wrote in Psalm 121. He said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help? From the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Where are the chief executives of those companies that the world said can never fail? Where are they today? All those excellent, they are the blue chips that you want to invest your money in. Where are they today? The Lehman Brothers and the rest of them, where are they today? But I'm telling you, only God is constant. Whatever you do, let him be in your plan. Let him be in your plan and you will succeed in Jesus' name. Aha. Verse 2, which is where I want to quickly touch on and we'll close. He says, surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. When I read this to the psychiatrist in the house, I just laughed to myself. He said, I quietened myself. Not that people quietened me. In other words, I had peace within myself. Like what? Like a child that was weaned. And you know what came to my mind immediately is Piaget. Object permanence. Contentment. In other words, what David was talking about is this. He said, I am the one that God has brought up and has made me mature. That when I look at the world around me, the Lord, because I know whom I believe, I know God is on my side. I fear no evil. You will fear no evil from today in Jesus' name. Let me quickly tell you about Piaget. What I said about up there permanence. What he says is this. When you have like a 6-month-old child, if you put something here, the child wants to take it. If you cover it up, what will the child do? The child will turn back and go away because he can no longer see it, right? But about the age of 1 year, if you put something there and the child wants to approach it and you cover it, what will the child do? The child will kick the thing off and take what is inside. How does it apply to us? When we are all growing up, we had our parents around to help contain our anxieties. And after some time, we become so confident because we've been reassured over time. We become so confident without our parents. without our parents, we are able to take decisions, we are able to go elsewhere. But do you know what? I mean, you are a psychiatrist. You are. Is it everyone who achieved that? It's not everyone. That is why you see some adults, it's their parents who help to rule their house. They can't take decisions. It is their friends who rule. They get everyone's opinion. Even before they speak to their wife, they will go and ask their friend, what should I tell my wife? What should I tell my wife? What should I tell my wife? What should I tell my husband? And then when they pull opinion together, they will then take a decision. That is because they don't feel confident inside. He said, I'm like a weaned child. In other words, what David is saying is this. If a child is properly weaned, the child gets contentment. The child will not necessarily cry again. You know what I mean? Not that he will never cry, but he has contentment. Where are we going? It means, as a child of God, Peter says in 2 Peter, do what? Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. A Christian that is not well fed in the word of God will be like that child that has never attained, will be a big adult, but will never attain object permanence. When it comes to the things of God, when they hear a new doctrine, they will follow it. When they hear another doctrine, they will follow it. They cannot be rest assured in the Lord. From today, you'll be rest assured in the Lord in Jesus' name. He said, my soul quiet like a wind child. How I wish I have time. I will have shown you the difference between a wind Christian and a Christian that is not wind. It's in Ephesians. If you go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7, verse 17 to 20, verse 17 to 24. But I will just read verse 20. I will just read verse 20 for you. But there's more to it. I would have loved to tell you this, but I know we've been here for long, so I don't want to take your time over what I've done. It simply says, verse 20, he said, but ye have not so learned Christ. What does that mean? It means that there's a right way to learn Christ and there's a wrong way to learn Christ. If you read the preceding verses from verse 17 to that 20, and then you read the verses after, you know, it tells us how to not learn Christ, how to not to, you know, say we are Christian and do certain things. That when Christ enters into our lives, certain things begin to happen. And then we can then begin to live like the wind Christian. Because the life of Jesus has rubbed upon us. Praise the Lord. And lastly, David said, I will paraphrase it, verse 3 of Psalm 131. He said, like me, hope and trust in the Lord. Hope and trust in the Lord. Where do you put your trust? The Lord, who is able to do all things, is here this morning. He's here this morning. What looks impossible to man, with him, they are possible. And he will make impossibility possible in your life today in Jesus' name. You will come back from the brink. I don't know. It does not matter what. But I can tell you, the Bible says with him, nothing shall be impossible. When he got to Lazarus, Lazarus was dead. He had been to the brink. He was to go forever. But Jesus pulled him back. He will pull you back and restore you and promote you in Jesus' name. Please, let's rise on our feet. He brought him back from the brink. He can bring anybody back from the brink. From the brink of despair. From the brink of depression. From the brink of frustration. From the brink of confusion. From the brink of visionlessness. From the brink of powerlessness. It may look like that situation, you don't have any say about it. You don't have any power about it. But there's somebody who has a say about it. His name is Jesus. He will give you victory. I say he will give you victory. in Jesus' name. I want you to pray to the Lord. Say, thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. Lord, I begin to soar. I'm coming back from the brink. I am coming back from the brink. I am coming back from the brink. I am coming back from the brink. What looks impossible, today you have become possible in my life. What you look, the situation that looks hopeless, from today I am hopeful. Oh, I receive my joy anew. I am built up for great things. I am built up for great things. I receive my joy anew in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, can we just close our eyes? Just 2 minutes. Close our eyes, bow heads. You are in the house this morning. It's like you are at the brink of something. You are at the brink. Can you just lift up your hand up? I want to pray with you. You are at the brink. Praise God. All those hands, please, up. You are at the brink. You are in the house. You are at the brink. I want to pray with you. Please, it's nothing to be ashamed about. It's something. It's you and God. Father, in Jesus' name, all these hands that are lifted up, like you pull Lazarus back from the brink, pull them back from the brink in Jesus' name. Even in this church, they will come back and tell the testimony in the mighty name of Jesus. You will do something no man can do in Jesus' name. In this life, you will accomplish something that no man can accomplish in Jesus' name. Lord, they will see your hand high and mighty to deliver and to save and to lift up in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please, can you quickly bring the elements? Bring the elements, please. Please just take your bread in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely.